It's the roundtable portion of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, and I am joined by Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns, Doug Deacon, his partner in the radio booth, and Tom Withers of the Associated Press. Jim, we'll start with this. An overtime loss, I know, doesn't really differentiate itself from any other of the seven losses of the season. It gives them eight on the year, and that's that. But this is a game where, for whatever reason, you come out of it, I guess, feeling, is it fair to say you feel a little better about where the Browns are in their progress?
Well,
I know it sounds odd.
Yeah, well, I've been kind of out and about today, you know, doing things and meeting people and seeing people. And I think people line up in two camps on this Monday. I think there was a camp that said the Browns had no chance going into this game and feared them getting blown out with Dallas beating Philadelphia the week before and seemingly on a little bit of a run. And I think people feel the way you just felt. Hey, they stayed in it and it's overtime. Then there's a camp of people that just say, wow, this just keeps happening. And even at 13-0, I could feel that it might happen and I could feel it slipping away. Yeah, so whatever camp you're in, I think that, you know, there's plenty to choose from.
I didn't think there were enough points at 13-0, but go ahead, Doug.
Well, no, unlike Jim, I'm not a greeter at Walmart, so I don't get a chance to meet all these people.
But he's got to work part-time somewhere.
Absolutely, right.
But I think, you know, the thing is, as a player, you sit there and you go back and you see that game and you say, this play, one thing here, one thing there, and you just second-guess yourself for, you know, the entire 70 plays that they had. Mm-hmm. What could I have done to, you know, made a difference? And it's a tough pill to swallow when you lose a close game, especially an overtime game.
Jimmy was out trying to get people to talk about Notre Dame football today, I think. I'm not sure he was concentrating on the Browns.
I thought he was just trying to pick up a couple extra bucks before the holidays.
Well, let me just say, I was everywhere. So
You know, Vic, this is unfortunately what we've talked about too much this year. Just can't finish the job. And I'm with you at 13-0. Jimmy said it too. At 13-0, I'm thinking, you know what? They need at least another three or maybe another touchdown to kind of take the pressure off a little bit, because you felt like when it started to slip away, it was going to go quickly.
What's your sense? You're in that locker room today, and what was your sense, though, of 24 hours later, what the mood of this team is? Because that's what everybody monitors. You've seen some teams fall off cliffs already in this similar record situation. I don't even know if I see the edge of the cliff with regard to attitude, staying engaged, caring.
Well, unfortunately, it was Deacon, Withers, and Donovan in the locker room.
And Dimitri Patterson.
And Dimitri Patterson, who is going to give it a shot in the next couple of days and may be able to come back and help this secondary.
It was kind of
that
a scarce
really,
locker room.
Yeah, it was very scarce today. But I think, you know, in talking to Pat Shurmur, and when I did ask Patterson about that, you know, what is the mood like? You know, let's remember, Vic, this is a very young, still hungry team. You know, guys that, you know, want to make a good name for themselves in this league. So I think this team is going to continue to fight. But I have to imagine that a lot of them are sitting around saying, you know, when is this going to stop? When are we going to get over the top?
What do we need to do?
You know, I would think it would be a little different. I think it is different here than I would gauge it is in Philadelphia today.
Right on.
After the way they've played now. And, you know, they've lost a bunch in a row. And how that team was set up.
And they're losing lopsided games,
that's
Jim.
That's right. Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, I would just hope for these guys, and even going back yesterday in that locker room, is that, you know, that there is some payoff for them in the way of some wins coming up here.
We knew going into this game, if you take Joe Hayden out of the equation, you're creating a hole that really couldn't be filled. I mean, I don't know that anybody at this table or anyone else watching this team closely would say, yeah, but they'll figure this out. No, that played right into the strength, Doug, of what this Cowboy team does. And sure as heck, Tony Romo throws 50 passes. He completes enough of them for 300 plus yards, but more importantly, they draw 7 pass interference penalties.
Well, yeah, I mean, they got 10 first downs on penalties yesterday. And that's the difference, I think, in a lot of ways in the game. And we were about 11 shy of what they had. We had 2 by penalties, and, you know, the officiating was lame. It was bad. And but with that said, I think, you know, the thing is, you got to make plays. And Romo started cold, then he got hot. You know, Whedon started hot, and then he got cold. And, you know, it's just a matter of consistency. And when you get hot, you know, you hear about teams, you know, when you get to the end of the season, it's the team that gets hot at the end of the season. It's, you know, you got to watch out for. That's the team that gets hot at the end of the game is when you got to watch out for.
You know, this whole – who is it on then, Vic, to make a team finish? You know, I don't know. Is it on – it's on the playmakers, I would imagine. It's got to be on those guys that you've identified as, you know – whether it's your quarterback or your star running back or whatever the case may be, those are the guys that have to make the plays down the stretch, and this team just hasn't been able to get that so far.
And you raise a great point about that because, and I know earlier in the day in the news conference you were asking Coach Shermer about this too, from a coaching standpoint, what level of responsibility is there about finishing? And beyond keep repeating the message, which he's done. We know he's done. We know he does it in an open forum where you can hear it and see it with players, but in behind the closed doors in the meetings, you know the assistant coaches, you know everybody in this building. I think I walk around saying, finish something.
With a T-shirt.
With a T-shirt, that's right, finish. So the mantra is there. So I don't know how much more from that standpoint can be done, but is it internal, I guess, for
I would guess. I don't know. Doug, you probably played on some teams that had this problem at some point, right? How do you get over the top?
Well, you guys probably in that one magical year probably thought that even when you were losing, we're not going to lose. Well, we're going to win. You think you're going to win.
I mean, Safe, we'd be down by two touchdowns. He'd go off the field at halftime. He'd say, we got them right where we want them. You know, but you know, that's a part of the attitude. Yeah. And you know, I think, you know, once you start doing it, then they come in bunches. I think once you start winning, the calls seem to go your way.
Yeah.
I really thought yesterday, too, Vic, sorry to interrupt.
No.
I thought that period between the start of the second half and early fourth quarter, it really seemed to kind of get away from Brandon Weeden, I thought. You know, they weren't able to get kind of string those drives together as they had earlier, and I really felt the game changed.
And I'll give the Cowboys maybe some credit on that, too. I think they did some changing.
Well, I felt it slip when they recovered the onside kick. And they did nothing with the ball at that point. And I know we looked at each other and went, "Uh-oh." You know, I mean, they had that. I mean,
that
James Michael
fired royally on the Cowboys.
Yeah, because you need to make them pay for taking a big gamble.
Yeah.
And you,
saying your offense isn't going to hurt us.
Yeah, and I mean, I thought then that Dallas got a big puff of air in their sail, and I thought the Browns then got a little bit.
And I don't remember if they tried to take a big shot there, but that's what I kept thinking when they got the ball then.
What happened was they ran the ball twice and they threw it once for 6 yards. And, that was one where, you know, you knew you needed to add on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No doubt. It's the Roundtable. Jim Donovan, Doug Deacon, and Tom Withers, and yours truly, Vic Carucci, here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We knew, as much as we knew the defense would be hurt by Joe Hayden's absence, we knew it would get a big boost by Ataba Rubin's return in the first pairing of the season of Rubin and Phil Taylor, and it didn't disappoint. The D-line played by far not just its best game, I think, of 2012, Jim, but I think maybe its best game in several years.
Well, on a couple of ways, too. I mean, anything over a three-step drop for Tony Romo yesterday was a problem. I mean, they were on him. So, I mean, that's what made it so very, very effective when he got into that short passing game for them, because anything beyond that, he really got hit or he got sacked or he made an errant throw. The other thing was that their running game was nothing. Now, I know their running game is not what it's used to be, but still, I mean, I thought the Browns took that away, so it really went against what you normally want to do. You want to make a team one-dimensional, and the Browns made them one-dimensional yesterday, but they were able to wiggle out of it because of the secondary problems.
Yeah, and that kind of leads into the three-step drops, because you know the younger guys weren't up there to jam. Oh,
right.
No, Bademosi, when he came in, he just got in the guy's face and gave him a lot of credit.
Yeah,
I thought they were given way too much cushion at times on the corners, but I can understand wanting to do that with young guys in there. But to your point about the defensive line, it wasn't just those two guys in the middle. I mean, and anybody that questions now John Hughes being selected by this team, that kid's played his butt off,
all year long. He has. He's been very consistent. And they put, Billy Winn out wide some time, and seemed like he was finding a comfort zone there as well. Talking about the other line, the Browns' offensive line, and how that performed. So we talk about Brandon Weeden having that up-and-down day. What he really had, though, consistently all day was good protection. He had a good pocket. He was sacked twice, but generally it was a clean pocket for him.
Yeah, I mean, there was the one time where Ware got by Joe Thomas, and that was about the only thing.
Looked offside.
You know, as he did. Yeah. I thought they looked off a couple of times. Here's the thing I think, I think that offensive line has played very, very well. But, we've been talking about Weeden and we've been talking about Richardson, weekly, and we should. But Mitchell Schwartz is really playing well. And the fact that we're not talking about Mitchell Schwartz is probably the biggest indicator that kid is really coming along at right tackle.
Yeah, he's played well. I mean, I think what was Weeden said, he's the smartest guy, he's, offensive lineman he's ever been around. And of course, he didn't play with me. So actually, Robert Jackson was our guy. He was unbelievable. But, they played well. I think, the thing is – We get down to the short yardage, though, and we still have trouble.
Yeah. Okay. So now this brings me to this, because I was waiting for this. Watching Trent Richardson play, 95 yards, 3.4 per carry, solid numbers for a guy who, you know, previous two games, 100-plus, but more importantly, solid for a guy who has rib issues. I'm wondering if those ribs hurt to the point where I saw him get to the hole sometimes and not explode. No. I thought he danced a little bit.
I'm with you.
A little tentative.
I thought on the third and one, I think he missed the hole there. He tried to jump over the top from the 2 yard line. He missed the hole. And, I also thought on a couple of those swing passes, he got out in space and he kind of stutter-stepped himself
he does
into
that,
trouble.
Yeah, and I like to call it it's the old Fred Flintstone yabba-dabba-doo stuff. You know, when Fred would be getting off of work and he'd get the buggy going. And that's what he's doing, you're right.
Well, it reminds you of Hillis, that. When Hillis used to jump people.
Right.
People have seen him on tape now. They know that move. And there was one time yesterday he went to do that out in space, and the guy didn't buy it and just smoked him.
But, you know, Vic, you may be right. I mean, as the game goes on, those ribs might get sore.
Knowing him and the competitor that he is, he's probably not going to say a word about it, but it's just something you observe.
And I really thought, you know, Hardesty, change of pace came in, and I thought really hit the hole hard, and I thought we were going to see more of him. And they showed a shot of Richardson on the sideline, who seemed to be a little bit gassed at the time. I was a little disappointed not to see Montero back 20, out there.
23 yards on 4 carries. Yeah. That's a 5.8 average. So he was effective.
The medication doesn't usually last you the entire game. Then it gets to a point that you got to do it again at halftime. That gets tough.
Well, we'll talk about this at the end of the week, but Pittsburgh is coming up, and speaking of medication and injuries, I mean, they've got some banged up people at that quarterback spot, but we'll hit that later on. Gentlemen, thank you so much. Jim Donovan.
I got to run out and get a sympathy card for the Steelers. Excuse me.
I'm sure you will. Jim Donovan and Doug Deacon from the Browns Radio Network. Tom Withers from the Associated Press. It's the Roundtable, and we will have much more coming up on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.